You are Locked On Pirates, your daily Pittsburgh Pirates podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's going on, everybody, and welcome back to Locked On Pirates, of course, today on Gary Morgan Mondays, as always. Today's episode is brought to you by Locked On MLB. Walking baseball encyclopedia Paul Francis Sullivan has everything you need to know about everything going on in baseball every single day, Monday through Friday. He covers baseball both present and past, has local experts like myself on every once in a while, and with the way a certain someone is playing and has the Pirates undefeated when he plays, he might have me back on there soon enough. And he covers pretty much everything else, even down to fantasy as well. So make sure you check out the Locked On MLB podcast today. But while you're here, of course, we do have Mr. Gary Morgan again on Monday. And I know he's feeling good because not only did Key Brian Hayes return this weekend, but right before we started recording, one of his guys that I think you enjoy watching is coming back now officially in Colin Moran.
Colin Moran's a fun one. Really stretches its lineup out now. So should be fun.
And I remember last week when we talked about like what Key Brian Hayes' impact was going to be when he came back. We've seen it already. The offense just looks better for the most part with that three-hit punch of Adam Frazier, Key Brian Hayes, and Brian Reynolds at the top. And I saw you tweet this yesterday, and this is actually on my mind too. Why in the world is Eric Gonzalez in the middle of the lineup?
I mean, it's been a lack of choice, you know, I think most of the time. I don't really know. I think, you know, as bad as Polanco is, I'd still rather see him hit in fifth than watch Eric Gonzalez try. You know, It's really hard to get on the coach too much when he just doesn't have a lot of options. Now, if I see it now with the players they have back and activated, yeah, it'll go from a question to a little bit more of a WTF are you doing?
Oh, yeah. And I mean, I think I would fully expect it now to probably be something of like probably Adam Frazier still leading off, Hayes at second or Hayes two, Reynolds three. Probably Moran or Stallings four, and then you can probably switch those two, I would think. Like, it just depends on how you're feeling that day.
I think Stallings four was a necessity thing against lefties, kind of hoping that he'd catch some fire. Yeah. And he did pretty well there, and he's done pretty well with the clutch stuff late in games, but he's not a cleanup hitter. He would tell you he's not a cleanup hitter. It's Colin Moran's job to lose, and I think he'll play there just about every day that his body holds up for. So I wouldn't worry too much about one through four. I don't see that changing very often.
Yeah, and I mean, but that's especially, and I think we saw some of it when even Hayes was injured with especially Adam Frazier now, obviously, and Brian Reynolds. And then you add Colin Moran's pop to the bat again. It's like this offense went from – like, and it's only been a couple of games. Obviously, it's going to probably change, but they now actually have like a reliable offense in some sort, at least in the first four batters in the lineup.
Well, I mean, it's worth noting the last two teams they played were the Rockies and the Marlins, and they're in the conversation for suckiest team in the NL. So it's hard to put too much weight into it. Although I will say one thing the Marlins have done this year is pitch.
Yes.
And, you know, the Pirates hit them. So, hey, you can't complain about everything. You know?
Yeah.
Sometimes you got to take something good.
Didn't Trevor Rogers go into yesterday's game with like a sub-2 ERA, if I'm not mistaken? It was down
there. Yeah, and he only gave up two runs. So yeah. I don't pin anything that happened yesterday on him. If anything, the Pirates waited him out and, in the eighth inning, the Marlins just imploded, as bad teams do every once in a while. I mean, we've seen that. I think that should be pretty familiar to Pirate fans, right?
Yes, it is. Yeah. And like you said yesterday on Twitter, it's nice to be the beneficiary of another team's mistakes And if the Pirates can continue to do that, I think they're going to win a lot more games than people don't expect them to if they actually finally do take advantage of other teams' mistakes. That was one thing that I saw a lot that they weren't doing over the past couple, like over the last month, is they just were not taking advantage of like other teams' mistakes.
Yeah, I mean, well, part of that, they didn't have anybody to take advantage with. I mean, you had to wait for that perfect storm of like the other team screwed up so bad that they managed to load the bases and have to face Adam Frazier or Brian Reynolds. And, you know, how often is that going to happen, you know, where you're forced into that decision? And then even when it does happen, you got Brian Reynolds maybe being patient to a fault and taking a strike three. You know, it's a difficult situation when you have two hitters and they're in the top of the lineup separated by somebody who doesn't belong there. So it's good to see what they have now. They'll luck into more wins this way. It's just when your starting pitcher gives up three runs, not even a week ago, it's real hard to not feel like it was game over.
Yeah.
And now, you know, three runs, you're like, yeah, we can get that back. You know, like,
And then it's funny, too, because I think now with what's going on with them in Boston, I think the Pirates and the Yankees are actually tied for the most games with team where the team has scored three runs or fewer, which I know has to drive Yankees fans insane because their offense on paper should be like ridiculous in most retrospects. But I mean, going back to Pittsburgh, though, we get Chad Kuhl on the mound again yesterday, but technically today with us recording. Hopefully he has a lengthy start as I'm talking in the future here. Hopefully he does a lot better in his second IL start as I'm trying to manifest the future here as we're talking to you on Monday, but we're recording on Sunday. But either way, like you said, I mean, we're getting a lot of these players back now, and it's really good because we're actually starting to see – I think now – is where you're going to actually see Derek Shelton be able to make the lineups that he kind of wants to make, put the pitchers out there that he hopefully wants to pitch, especially with even we have, like you've always mentioned, Jose Soriano is going to be coming back eventually too.
Not anymore. No, he's experiencing elbow discomfort and they've shut him down. You know, as well as I do, a guy coming back from Tommy John experiencing elbow pain isn't something that's going to go away quick. So
no,
I hope it's not the worst for him, but he's definitely not an imminent return anymore.
So. Yeah. Well, that kind of puts a damper on things, but either way, I mean, the pitching staff, I think will eventually come together as like, I mean, who knows? Like there's so many guys they've seen out here so far. Of course, that's a lot due to injury, but I mean, hopefully they do get to the point where they actually have a solidified four or five guys at some point. I think that'll be probably after the trade deadline, just depending on what they do. And I mean, obviously, what does it look like if you have those five guys? Like, what would you want to see in the five-man rotation for Pittsburgh probably after the trade deadline?
Well, one of them I obviously wanted to see was Yujiri, who's also shut down now.
Yeah.
With, you know, arm pain, not good. So,
yeah.
It's really hard to say he's going to be part of it. Stephen Brault and Chad Kuhl may have injured themselves out of being deadline deals. So it's possible that they'll play a role here as the five-man rotation takes place. I think Cahill is probably on his last breaths here as a Pirate one way or another. Brubaker, obviously. Anderson until the trade deadline. Keller, you have to imagine, is going to come back and pitch. I can't see them just sending him down. If they do, Will Crow comes back up.
Yeah.
I don't think Max Kranick's going to be ready. The team might. I mean, they really liked what they saw from him in spring, so he's a possibility too.
And then Chase DeJong has not looked bad for the most part either. He's not like the greatest pitcher in the world or anything, but he hasn't exactly looked bad either for most intents and purposes.
Chase DeJong's an interesting guy because, you know, here's another one who's 27 years old. He really has next to no Major League Baseball experience. He's pretty easy to write off. But if he is a decent pickup, he's a guy they control for 5 years. I mean, and I've said this before too. What do you care what age he is if you don't think they're going to extend or re-sign him anyway? You can have him till he's 32 in your rotation. That's great. Hey, wonderful if he turns out that good. That said, yesterday, you know, he cruised through four innings and really stumbled, you know, towards the end, gave up five runs yesterday. That's not great. That's not any better than Will Crow. That's not any better than what Mitch Keller's done. So that said, he's going to get a good long look. They have to shoot their shot with him right now. He has no options. They have nothing they can do with him except try. So,
yeah. And I know your favorite saying is trying to throw things at the wall and see what sticks. So, I mean, that's what they have to do. And then moving forward after this Miami series, oh boy, I can't wait to see Pirates Twitter with this one, but we get to face the Los Angeles Dodgers in what should be a very interesting series. I don't even know how to like really preview this series just because I've heard a lot of rumblings from the Dodgers, especially that they do have a lot of injuries right now. Yep. So we're probably not even seeing like the full strength Dodgers, but I would also obviously say the not even full strength Dodgers are still better than the Pirates. But how would you go into this series if you're the Pirates looking to win games against one of the best teams in baseball?
Exactly that. I'd go into it looking to win games against one of the best teams in baseball. I mean, they're 10 games over 500. They're in third place. It's not like they've fallen off a cliff and they're underperforming to a degree that, you know, the World Series is questionable or the playoffs are out of the question. Reality is there's probably three teams coming out of that division if the Giants keep playing like this, which I also think is unlikely. The Dodgers are a good team. They're nicked up, though. And if you pitch to them and keep them in the ballpark, they got as good a chance as anybody of beating them. So, I mean, I don't really look at it like it's something to be afraid of. Is it a measuring stick? I guess if you're trying to measure, I'm not sure they are right now, really.
Yeah, I think their mindset, and it's a good mindset to have, is just going into every series, who cares who you're playing? It's not like you're trying to make the playoffs or anything right now. You're seeing what players are going to be pretty good for you in the future. And cool, if Key Brian Hayes goes out there and like hits a home run against the Dodgers, I'm sure some troll on Twitter will say, oh, he'll look nice in a Dodger uniform in 3 years. But, you know, I mean, you know. You know it'll come eventually. He'll do something against the Dodgers, and they'll be like, oh, he'll be there eventually, right? And it's just like Justin Turner's going to retire in a couple of years. We could really use him.
Sure, and they'd be ignoring the Dodgers system that's ready to provide. I mean, that's the part of the Dodgers that everyone forgets is their drafting and development and international scouting is above anybody else in the game. They're tremendous at it. And yeah, they have a lot of money, so they can afford to keep those players around long term. That's the big difference. That and they really develop the heck out of pitchers.
Yes.
Think about what would happen to the Pirates if players of the level, we just saw it with Hayes, right? You know, we lost Hayes, and look at the damage it did to that lineup.
Yep.
Now the Dodgers lose Dustin May and Bellinger for a while, and they're okay. Yeah. You know, they're still 10 games over 500. It's not like the whole world ceased to exist for them. They're just not quite as good as they want to be. The Pirates, that would decimate them. Absolutely decimate them.
Oh, yeah. And then I know you mentioned to me, I think last week as well, that you're going to actually be able to go see some Greensboro Grasshoppers baseball. And I believe a week or so.
Yep, a couple weeks here.
Yeah. So what are you most excited to see down there in terms of what the Pirates have to offer in Greensboro?
Mostly Peguero. I'm not to the point where I'm trying to figure out who's going to pitch yet because those types of rotations change an awful lot in the minors. So I'll be happy with whoever I catch a glimpse of down there. Obviously, Priester would be fun. But Peguero is the one I really want to see in person. I saw some spring training ball from him, and obviously I've seen video just like everyone else, but really just kind of want to take in a couple games of him doing his thing. there's a lot that you can see in person that you just don't see when you're watching it on TV. So.
Oh, yeah. And I mean, it's also really fun because I've heard he's like a firecracker. Like, he has like a great personality. Every video I've seen, he swings the ball. He swings the bat really well. Excuse me. And I mean, he's also a fun little trade chip that or trade asset that we got from the Starling Marte trade, correct? It was Aguero and Malone.
Yep.
That was like the first one that started kind of the downhill slide, I guess, if you want to call it that. But I mean, they have, I would say still, and I said this whenever they released those rosters, I said, I think that roster, just in terms of what to look for in terms of how things are going to go in the future, is probably one of the fun, if not, it's the funnest roster in the Pirates organization to me.
But it's the highest ceiling.
Yeah.
The players with the highest ceiling, I think, for the most part, are there. But, the team in Altoona is a heck of a lot of fun, too. And those guys are going to be here before the guys from Greensboro. So, especially with Nick Gonzalez getting hurt. He probably had the best shot to skyrocket through the system.
Yep.
That's not going to happen now. But AA, Mason Martin, Ronzi Contreras, there's players all up and down the system, really, until you get to AAA, which AAA is kind of, a little bit more of a dry spot right now. It's really not doing what it's supposed to be doing, which is developing people for the last jump. Right now, it's more of a receptacle for players that didn't quite make it and that didn't quite show you enough.
Yeah. And I think that's going to change next year, especially. Like, next year, I think you're going to see a noticeable difference in the Indianapolis Indians team you see this year versus next year, based on higher ceiling players being there. Just because, of course, development over a year, you're going to probably see a lot different mindset from that.
Yeah, it should happen by the middle of this year. I would think you'll start seeing some more of that movement.
Yeah.
So, and the Pirates are doing, to their credit, they're doing what they need to do as far as bringing up guys like Chase DeJong. And let's get a look at him now. Let's see what he can do. If he sticks, he sticks. If he doesn't, he doesn't. But you got to do that so that you have room to move players like Ronzi Contreras up and Max Kranich up. And you start building up that reservoir a little bit of getting the real talent up into AAA where it can develop. Austin Davis is another good one. Instead of shoving him in AAA, they bring him up and give him a shot, see what he can do. And as they start checking off boxes and eliminating players like that, you start to open up more spots to move other guys up from AA. It's going to move guys up from Greensboro. Keep the train rolling. Get the draft picks a place to live.
Oh, yeah. And I'm excited for that as well. And then, of course, it's honestly doing this podcast and also talking to you and learning more about farm systems has made covering the Pirates that much more fun, just because I'm also seeing now that, you're going to get to watch Leover Piguero play in Greensboro, and there's a potential that he eventually plays for the Pirates. He might be that good of a player. It's just fun to cover these guys and think about these guys as guys that you'll see in 3 years and say, wow, I saw this kid when he was just starting, or like whenever he was just down here.
And yeah, I mean, it works both ways too. I mean, I paid a lot of attention to the minors, for years now. I never saw Incan Brian Hayes what I'm seeing right now.
Yeah.
He's a better player than I truly ever thought he would become. And I mean, that just goes to show I have opinions on this stuff. I think I know what I'm talking about when I watch prospects. And I thought he'd be an okay player. I thought, pretty good. I did not think he had the power potential that he's shown. And I certainly didn't think he had the ability to hit the baseball with authority as often as he does. He actually struggled with contact a little bit in certain aspects on his way up. So pretty interesting the way he's developed, and you got to hope that that's something they can keep doing with other players that are going to be good. Hopefully they turn into great.
Yeah. And I remember reading a lot of stuff about Hayes. Like, I think it was about 2 or 2.5 years ago when a lot of his hype started building up. A lot of people said He's just a defensive third baseman. His hitting's not that great. Maybe it'll come around. And then you see him, like, realistically, you brought up that, like, authority of hitting the baseball. And the fact that he told Jason Mackey, I believe, of the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, that he'd been working on hitting the ball towards center field more often. And then he just rips it into center field, into the grass. And I was just like, where did this come from? Like, he's just, I mean, it just looked good. It was nice. He hits the ball with authority, but sometimes he looks carefree when he does it. Like, his swing looks so carefree.
He just blasted one off the Clemente wall the other day, and it looked like he just flicked his wrists. It didn't even look like a full swing. I mean, that's crazy power that he has. And to have it brought out really at the training site last year by John Nunnally and Rick Eckstein, they figured something out with his swing, and to his credit, he adopted it and he's run with it and just refuses to lose it. Even after sitting for 60 games, he's out there just, it's crazy the way that he came back. It's just not supposed to happen that easy.
Oh yeah.
A young player.
And what would you expect from the Pirates, like, going into this week? Obviously, I mean, you get the Dodgers series, and then I believe, excuse me again, good Lord. And then you get the Brewers, I believe, again.
Yep.
So two pretty fun matchups. So what is there to expect from the Pirates going into this week?
The Dodgers, I think, really it's just about pitching to them. If they're careful with that lineup, you know, and there really aren't any breaks in that lineup. But if they're careful with that lineup and they get through it, they can keep them under 4 or 5 runs. They could squeak one out here and there. The Brewers, I think that's just a straight up NL Central matchup. Everybody in the NL Central stinks. I mean, I'm sorry, they do.
Yeah, you're not wrong.
The Cardinals will probably pull it out because if they get healthy, they have the most tools. The Brewers are pitching out of their minds right now. And it's gotten them into first place. But if they can't figure out Yelich's back problem to the point where he doesn't have to sit once every 2 or 3 days, I just don't see them having enough juice to get there.
Yeah, understandable.
So I don't worry about that matchup at all. They'll pitch. We'll pitch too. So I'm not really all that concerned about that matchup. They already beat them in a series once. I can see it again.
Oh, yeah. And, I mean, anything else outside of the Pirates in baseball that you're looking forward to this week?
I don't know about looking forward to, but I'm certainly interested in the sticky substance stuff going on right now with the spin rates. That's a big story, and it's really up to Major League Baseball how big of a story it becomes. You know, the fact that ESPN's covered it now, and I think The Score had something written about it. That stuff doesn't come without Major League Baseball contributing to it, you know, and it doesn't get out unless they want it to. So when you start seeing stuff like that, it makes me think that we're either going to start seeing some guys busted, or you're going to start seeing some spin rates fall back towards earth, and the bats are going to come back to life suddenly.
Yeah. It's going to be a very interesting turnover, especially if you just start seeing, instead of, oh, these hitters are hitting really bad, and now all of a sudden you're getting 10-9, 8-7 games every single day.
Yeah, very much so. But, I mean, the integrity of the game has been in question for a long time. You know, what rules do they care about? It certainly isn't all the rules. But if they try to put their foot down on the pitchers right now, you're talking about they'd have to eliminate things like bubble gum and bug spray. And if you start eliminating everything that makes things sticky, I'm not sure how you do that. I'm really not. There's a lot of household items that could easily be found in any baseball stadium that I just don't see them eliminating.
Yeah. And I mean, the other one is not even like a household item. It's a part of your body. Are you going to tell me that pitchers can't spit on their own hand now?
Well, I mean, technically they're not supposed to.
Yeah.
But No. And if you combine that with rosin, guess what it does? I mean, it's really one of those things that I think they're going to struggle to eliminate entirely. So they're going to have to find a way to make it okay, basically. Yeah.
That's what I think I saw somebody talking about, and I kind of agreed with, is I think their ultimate decision on that is going to be everybody has to use this one thing. Like there's, and everything else is like out of the picture. So I think they're going to have to do is going to be like, which substance is going to be the best one that's going to not sway it so far in their favor.
Again, though, are you going to ban Jolly Ranchers? I mean, for real. I put a Jolly Rancher in my mouth and I can stick my fingers in it, lick my fingers, look normal. And hey, they'll be sticky. You know, hey, good luck stopping that. You're not going to do it. So, and it's been going on since Boog Powell. I mean, like that guy famously cheated. He told everybody right afterwards. He's like, yeah, I throw every piece of junk I can. I put everything on my fingers possible. And of course, you know, that's part of the game. I don't know how you eliminate it. Is it right? No, it's not. But I just don't know how you get away from it. You know, it's not like corking a bat.
Yeah. Because at least with that, you still have to hit the baseball.
You still have to hit the baseball, and if you break your bat, boom, you're caught. You know.
Yeah.
It's going to be interesting to see some of the pitchers that have that higher spin rate, see how it affects them. It certainly didn't affect, you know, Kyle Crick yesterday. He was throwing frisbees up there, so I don't know.
Oh yeah. It'll be interesting, and I could see it already, too. Just like if Jacob deGrom right now comes back or something and they do the sticky substance stuff and his ERA goes from like a 0.63 to like a 3 or a 2, people will be like, interesting. And I saw people bring that up about Gerrit Cole the other day, too. They said something, they were talking about this, and then in his first start after it, he gave up like 5 runs over 3 innings.
Yeah.
And I'm just wow.
That's the Gerrit Cole-Trevor Bauer fight. You know, I mean, that's been going on for a couple seasons now. And, you know, something's going to come from it. I just don't have a clue where it goes. I truly don't think it's something they can completely eliminate. I don't know. We'll see. They're collecting balls. We'll see what they do with it. To me, I think they're going to look at the list of people that are in trouble and they're just going to shut their mouths.
Yeah. Because those list of people, sadly, are probably going to be a lot of their really top pitchers in baseball.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be your Max Scherzers and your Gerrit Coles. And I don't see Major League Baseball wanting to have another steroids-esque scandal on their hands. So I think they'll probably just swallow the whistle and pretend they're cracking down on something. Or they'll make an example of one or two guys. And it won't be a big deal, and everyone else will just go back to doing what they're doing, and the rest of the coaches will realize their own guys are doing this stuff, so we better shut our mouths too.
Oh yeah, of course. What people shouldn't shut their mouth on is trying to follow you on Twitter, Gary. So where can we find all of your stuff on Twitter and everything?
Twitter, it's GaryMO2007. I love talking baseball and all sports, especially Pittsburgh sports. So, hey, hit me up on there. And anything that I write about the Pirates is on InsideTheBucksBasement.com.
Awesome. And you guys, of course, can follow me on Twitter at LockedOnPirates or at MVP_Ethan. Of course, at the time of recording, my Los Angeles Clippers play Game 7 in about 3 hours. I will be at work for that game, so pray for me on that one because I literally will not know the outcome of the score until I have time to check my phone at work. So that'll be fun. Enjoy the Pirates games this week. Of course, I will be here Monday through Friday, as always. Of course, enjoy Key Brian Hayes being back as he pushes for NL MVP if he continues on this pace. And all that good stuff. And thank you, Gary, of course, for coming on every Monday like you always do. And I will be back tomorrow on Tuesday to probably preview the Los Angeles Dodgers series as well as some other stuff. So I will catch you on the flip side.